welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we have Christy Burns from an organization called Cameras for Conservancy. And so camera photography, that's something I like to do. So I'm excited to talk to Christy. And Jesse Lowry, our Director of Research and Conservation here at Blank Park Zoo, is with me today. And Jesse, why don't you start the show off today?
Thanks, Ryan. Great to be here again. And I always like to just take the first couple minutes and set the stage and talk about Blank Park Zoo and what the role of a modern zoo is today to save animals in the wild. The mission of Blank Park Zoo is to inspire an appreciation of the natural world through conservation, education, research, and recreation. But I really see the zoo as a window to the wild, a place where we can invite the community to come in and see the amazing beauty that nature has to offer and all of these wonderful animals that we have at Blank Park Zoo, and feel that sense of awe that we all feel when we see tigers and giraffe and rhinos. But then how do we turn that warm, fuzzy feeling that we get into a real conservation action, something that's actually going to make a difference to wildlife and the environment, and really going to make a difference to these populations of animals all over the world? And so Blank Park Zoo does conservation in lots of different ways, and we encourage our audience to take part as well. But really the important point is that a portion of every dollar that we make at Blank Park Zoo goes to save animals in the wild. And so just by visiting the zoo on a warm Saturday or a cold January day, by coming to Zoo Brew or our other events or becoming a member of Blank Park Zoo, you're helping to save animals in the wild. And so we do send funds and in-kind support all over the world every year to organizations like Giraffe Conservation Foundation in Namibia, International Rhino Foundation and all the countries that rhinos exist, Hornbill Research Foundation in Thailand, Conservation Fusion in Madagascar, Snow Leopard Trust in Mongolia, and many, many more. Also to some projects of animals that we don't have here at the zoo, like the Chimpanzee Sanctuary and Wildlife Conservation Trust in Uganda. But also we focus on working to protect our local environment. Plant Grow Fly is our pollinator conservation project where we encourage people to plant butterfly gardens. And we've also got a new project called Iowa Hunters Leading the Way. It's a non-lead outreach campaign. And so you can find out more information about all those projects on the zoo's website. But one thing that we've really been focusing on the past few years is finding ways to connect art with conservation. And we do that through events at the zoo. And that's really why I wanted to invite Christy here today, because there's so many different ways that we can help save animals in the wild. And with all the things that are happening with populations of animals around the world, I truly believe that each of us has to come to the table with our unique passions and talents, our unique expertise to help solve these problems. And Christy's got a wonderful talent for photography, and she is already harnessing that passion to help save animals, and she's got a really neat story to tell. So, Christy, a welcome again to the show. We're so excited to have you here today.
Thank you, Jesse. I'm glad to be here.
So let's start off just by hearing a little bit about yourself and your background, where you're from, and how you picked up a camera.
Well, I've traveled a lot. I was born in Seattle, Washington, only lived there 2 years. So most of my life has been in Iowa. And I did spend about 16 years over in the Middle East as a photojournalist. And when I was there, I was taking photos mostly of people, documentary-style photography, freelancing for many magazines and newspapers around the world. And that stemmed from a passion of photography I had probably since I was about 12. I picked up a camera and realized that that was a way I could communicate with the world in a way that connected me to the things around me. And it was a way that nothing else would do that for me. And so I took that passion to college and worked at the Daily Northwestern newspaper at Northwestern University, and then just continued to take that passion into everything I could.
That sounds like an amazing experience. So you had a passion for photography. Did you also have a passion for journalism? And that's kind of how those two things melded together for your time in the Middle East and working for the papers and magazines?
My original goal, the thing that inspired me, was I wanted to communicate to the world things that they were not seeing. And it's very interesting because back then when I was taking photos where it wasn't digital cameras, back then there wasn't the internet, Facebook, Instagram. And so people didn't know what was going on in Egypt and the Middle East, and they couldn't see the people there and what women were doing, what people were doing in the countryside. And I felt, you know, this is something that I want to communicate. I want people to see a world that they can't see. I want them to understand more deeply. And interestingly enough, that's the same thing I'm doing now, only with animals. But I just started out with people, which I feel sort of in some ways no longer needs to be done as much because of all the Instagram accounts and Facebook accounts that, you know, we really have a lot of information about what's going on with people in different areas of the world now.
What it makes me think about is if you have a certain situation or something's happening, you can write an article and the words can tell a story. But if you show someone a picture, it can also tell a story, but it could be different to each person who views that picture. And so it just makes it makes that really powerful, I think, for people.
Yes, I think one thing that I think that's one reason I combined journalism and photography too, is because I wanted to make sure people were seeing the part of the story that I wanted them to focus on. And so I love doing photographs and exhibits and just having them interpret the photos. And at the same time, I like people looking at a photo and seeing maybe more deeply into that photo instead of just making, you know, where I think we look at photos nowadays, we scroll through our Instagram feed and we make quick judgments about the photos, or we just go, this is pretty or that's pretty. And I want people to see something a little deeper and take a little longer to look at the photos.
Before we move on to conservation, can you just give us one example of a photo or a photo shoot in the Middle East that was something that you'll never forget?
Do you want a good story or a little bit of an exciting story?
Ryan, what do you think?
Let's go with exciting.
Okay. I think the one that I will never forget is when I was working for a French children's magazine, and we were, it was a beautiful thing they were doing. They made their whole issue about Egypt and focusing on the children of Egypt around Egypt. And so we traveled around Egypt. I was the photographer, and there was a journalist from France and then a guide. And we went to all these places I'd never been before in Egypt, an orphanage in the countryside and different places. And the magazine, when it came out, was just beautiful. It was a French magazine that told French children about how children lived in Egypt. So the end result was really beautiful. But at one point we were in a small village, and I was going to that village to take photos of the children in the village at a certain place. And we were walking across the bridge into the village, and I decided to take some pretty shots off of the bridge. I forgot that in Egypt, I'm not sure if this is still true, but back then it was illegal to take a photo of any bridge. And so we were approached by a man with a gun, and he looked very imposing, and he had a very large rifle. And he came towards us very seriously, and he was very, very serious with asking us what we were doing. And they started speaking in Arabic very quickly, and I did understand Arabic, but not that quickly. And so I quickly put all of my film into my pocket and put a new film in the camera so he couldn't take the film I already had. And I was very, you know, anxious and everything about it. And so finally, the French journalist and I, we asked the guide, we said, well, what did he say? And he said, well, he said to come down to the police station. And so I was very, you know, a little bit nervous about it. And I was like, oh, but I saved my film, which really should that have been my, you know, biggest concern. But, you know, that was, you know, the thing to do is make sure you save your film. And so we went to the police station and we were all getting really nervous, and we sat down on his desk, and all of a sudden he brought out a pot of tea and he started laughing and he said, so what, how many sugars do you want in your tea? And let me serve you some tea. And all he wanted to do really was just talk to us because he had been standing guard there for so long with, you know, his colleagues, and, you know, nothing really happened a lot in the village. And just to, so to see a French lady and a young, you know, American lady come in, you know, he just wanted to have tea with us. So
I love that story. So before we move on, why is it illegal to take a picture of a bridge? Do you know?
It was originally because it was a security risk, because bridges were important for transportation during times of, you know, conflict, or even times of, you know, just to transport goods. And so I don't know if it's still true, but it was something that they treasured and wanted to make sure stayed safe.
So what do you think gave you your passion for conservation?
You know, I think it is being close to nature, because one of the things that I do the most is spend time outdoors. And I think the more, and my family grew up taking me outdoors, camping, going on hikes. They were the parents that would say, just go outdoors and play, you know? And so spent time on my grandmother's farms and stuff. And I think the more time you spend connected with nature, the deeper your connection becomes with conservation. And that's why I love all the programs, like the zoo does the outreach programs, where you get to see the animal up close. I mean, any time, and it could be one time or 100 times, but I think the more times this happens to a person, the deeper connection they get to conservation. And that's what happened to me, is I just, you know, experienced nature up close so much and in so many ways that it became, I realized that I was not apart from it, that I was a part of it. And it was something that mattered to me. And so now when I hear about things happening, I don't just think, oh, this is happening. You know, like I'll see a new construction going up somewhere, and I don't just look and say, oh, what, I wonder what they're building there. I look at where they're building and I think, oh, well, that's habitat for, and then I, you know, can list about 5 different animals that live there. And I wonder, how are they doing? You know, how will they be relocated? And, you know, I'm just deeply connected on that level, where I feel that these animals and, you know, the world around me is part of my, it's just an extension of where I live. It doesn't all have to be about my house.
Tell us about some of your projects that you've done on the conservation end of things.
Well, my big project the past year has been running the social media for Neil Smith National Wildlife Refuge. And that has been really important to me because of, you know, they do fantastic work out there. And there's just wonderful conservation efforts they're doing with prairie restoration and the bison, you know, keeping, you know, the bison protected, and the wonderful education programs they do. And I feel like getting that message out to the public is so important. And a lot of these organizations, they're spending so much of their passion doing the work that they don't have that extra time to do the communication of the work, or maybe not as much as they need to. And so that's really been a passion of mine the past year, is running their social media and trying to get more more of their message out. And then I've done little projects along the way. I spent 3 days with a girl who was out, a young lady who was out in the field at Neil Smith for Working Dogs for Conservation. And I spent 3 days with her and her dogs looking for invasive species. And I documented that. And I donated those photos to her organization as well, and wrote an article about it, which I hope to see soon. I won't say anything because I haven't seen it. It's supposed to come out in the spring issue of a magazine. But that would be really great, you know, to see that come out, because I think it's really good to communicate this to people and to show people what organizations are doing for conservation. And so I guess my main goal is to help these organizations communicate what they're doing, but also just, I take a lot of photos of beautiful things in nature, a lot of animals. And I like it when people look at the photos and ask me questions about, well, where is the animal? And I think it gives them a connection. You know, when people look at a beautiful photo of an animal, that's one of those connections I was talking about, where you look at that animal and you get it, you have a connection with that photo. And so that's.
Yeah. Back, Jesse, when we were working on the Prairie Chicken Project, I had the opportunity to go down to Kellerton and sit in a blind in the middle of the night and wait for the sun to come up and the prairie chickens do this little dance thing at mating season. And it is fabulous. And if you're in this blind, they'll come right up to it. They don't know you're in there and they're doing their dance and you're able to get wonderful photos. And it is absolutely, you know, not something that I would think of, oh, let's go do this. But through my job, I had that opportunity and now I have this connection with the prairie chicken. And a bird that I didn't even really know about beforehand. So I guess that's my story.
That's exactly, yeah. That's the connections you get. I can relate to that, yeah.
So tell us about some of your favorite nature photos or a favorite nature photo shoot.
My favorite shoots are always the ones that last the longest. So oftentimes... For me, it's more about the experience than, I love the final photo, but that's just part of the process for me. I love the experience, and it's sort of a throwback to when I used to do the documentary photography. I would sometimes spend 4 to 6 hours just talking with a family or a group of people before I took photos, and I'll do the same with animals sometimes. Of course, animals, it's not 4 to 6 hours because they move a little bit faster than people do, but... you know, sometimes I'll spend a half hour or an hour with an animal that's grazing or sleeping or something like that. And for me, those are my absolute favorite photo shoots because I'm watching the animal, I'm watching their habits, I'm watching them groom. And I have actually learned so much about animals, you know, that you could probably learn from reading biology books, but I have just learned so much about the habits of animals from simply watching them for a half hour, an hour, sometimes more, and just to see what they do. You know, how do they groom? How do they react to certain weather or certain situations or things like that? And if you sit there at a respectful distance and you're not disturbing them, many animals will let you just sit there with them. And so I think those are my favorite photo shoot experiences.
So tell us a little bit about the techniques to get a good animal photo.
Well, I'd have to say I'm a bit of a purist with that, you know, where I do feel that you have to spend time with the animal to get a good photo, because I think you can go out there. There's a lot of shoots where you can go and the situation's set up for you, or it's really easy to just go out and snap a photo of, you know, some animals that are sitting there, and you can get some beautiful photos, but I like to find I think you can get a more meaningful, a deeper photo. Sometimes a person will look at the photo and not even know what makes it different, but they feel something different about it. And I think you can get those more intimate nature photos by spending more time with the animal. And maybe you'll take photos for a day and you won't like any of those photos, but you'll go back the next day and the next day, and maybe you'll get a photo you finally really like. It could take some time, but it's really worth the investment because you learn something about the animal each time you go. So I would definitely recommend if somebody wants to do, you know, get some really good nature photos, to spend time with the animal first. And I always say shoot photos whether you think they're going to be good or not. Just at least get something in case the animal moves and you never see it again. Because I do like to have a record of my photos. But if you're lucky, you'll have more opportunities and you can keep shooting after that.
Patience is key.
Yes, yes. And you know, and that's interesting that you use the word patience, because I think, you know, some people do call it patience, but for me... because the experience is the experience for me, I don't even think of myself as patient. Like, I'm the most impatient person in the world, really. Like, if I were waiting in line for something, I keep checking to see how long the line is moving, and I'm so impatient. But if you get me in front of an animal watching it, I'm just entranced, and I will sit there for 4 hours and I won't even realize 4 hours has passed. And so it's more, I think if you have that in you, and that's how you would probably choose your photo topic as well. You know, if you're trying to decide, well, what should I take photos of? I think I would say take photos of something you're passionate about so it doesn't feel like you're being patient, you know. It feels like you're enjoying each moment.
I've always been curious just about how much lighting matters. Is there a certain time of day that is just great when you're out on the prairie at Neil Smith and the bison are out? Is it no good to take pictures when it's cloudy or too sunny or backlit, things like that? How much of that do you have to put into your equation for your photographs?
Ideally, I like to do sunrise. Just because the sun is coming up, the light is very gentle, and then your sun is going up, like you're always getting more sun. So it's not like it's sunset where if you miss some shots, well, the sunset, that's you're done for the day. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the animals are, and the whole world is just sort of waking up. And wildlife in general and animals in general are not used to a lot of human activity around sunrise. And so I think, you know, if you're choosing between sunrise and sunset, I always like sunrise better. Sunset is the second one that I would, you know, I go about 2 hours before sunset a lot of the times. And you just get beautiful lighting that time of day. Of course, in Iowa, you know, half the year you don't get good lighting. You get rain, you get clouds, you get, you know, whatever you get. Sometimes you're in the middle of the day taking photos. I will just adapt what I'm taking photos of according to my lighting then. So sometimes if I'm taking photos in the middle of the day, I'll do insects or close-up photography, which actually does really well with really bright, overlit situations. Hmm. Whereas if I were to do some bison photography or large mammals in the bright lights, it might not be as great.
Well, I'm definitely very passionate about pollinators and native plants and flowers, and I just love taking pictures of my butterfly garden. I love getting in there, and it's just with my iPhone, but I can take really close-up pictures of the bumblebees and the flowers. Sometimes they've bloomed. Sometimes they're just getting ready to bloom, or a new shoot is getting ready to come out. It's when they make seed and the seeds are starting to blow in the wind, something really comforting and relaxing about just taking photos of flowers. And I love those really close-up photos. So I would love to see some of your work with some of your equipment that you have. Although the iPhone does pretty well.
I was going to mention, you know, that's something that I like to mention to people is that if you are just working with an iPhone and you stick within the parameters of the iPhone, you can get professional photos with the iPhone and you can do a very good job with the iPhone. Mm-hmm. So if you are enjoying iPhone photography and you really don't feel like expanding beyond that, just get to know your iPhone as well as you can. And you could be on level with anybody who has fancy equipment. There's no reason you couldn't be. You just won't have as many options. For instance, like you wouldn't be able to take a telephoto photo, mm-hmm. Of somebody, far away.
That's great. So I know with Cameras for Conservancy, you've got a team of photographers that are working with you. So tell us a little bit more about the process that you guys go through of finding pictures and working for different organizations to really move conservation forward.
Well, we're building our team now, and we have a really great core team right now to start with, which I'm really excited about. We have some wonderful people on the team. And what we've been doing is just starting out by introducing ourselves to some different conservation organizations, taking photos for them, offering them the photos, at no cost to them. And each person who's a member right now has taken on a different role to get the organization moving forward. We're, recruiting new members, we're recruiting donations, we're recruiting organizations. So we're sort of doing everything at the same time. And I'm so impressed with the team we have right now. We have Brett, who's doing social media. He's doing a fantastic job. And then Terry Landers, who's doing some great design work for us for, like, you know, little brochures to show people, you know, hand out and show what we're doing. We're just trying to get our photographers out there as much as possible to get those photos taken. And then one of the big things we do is we like to use the photos that we've taken or that we're out there taking photos, and we'll tag different organizations like Polk County Conservation or Iowa DNR. And when we tag them, then they see that the photo's there, and then they're able to use the photo in their social media. And that's a way we can help them, you know, get their photo, get more photos for their needs as well. And I've also done some work with Indian Creek Nature Center in Cedar Rapids, and, you know, pretty much anywhere I go or the other photographers go, that's our goal now.
We've just got a couple minutes left. Can you summarize what your hope is for Cameras for Conservancy and what kind of impact you want it to make? And then let us know where people can find out more information about your organization.
Our hope for photographers is that they will find a deeper meaning in their work and a place that they can let their passion just soar and feel so happy with what they've accomplished. And our goal for organizations is to take this amazing conservation work that these organizations are doing and spread the word in a big way through images, which are very impactful in today's world, you know, especially on Instagram and Facebook. We're also helping people, if they're not as familiar with how to be successful on Instagram and Facebook, we're offering that as well. And we really just want to get these messages out, because I have noticed that a lot of conservation organizations are not getting their message out with a loud voice. And I think these are the people that really deserve to be the heroes, to be lauded as heroes, to be famous on social media. You know, I'd really like to see some of these accounts just take off and, you know, and people looking at these conservation efforts and noticing what these organizations are doing. And so if anyone wanted to join us as an organization, a conservation organization or a photographer, or make a donation, they could go to camerasforconservancy.org.
We are so excited to work with you. Thank you so much for your work. You are a fantastic photographer.
Thank you so much, Jesse.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us today. And if you want to learn more about Blank Park Zoo, head over to our website, blankparkzoo.com. And while you're there, check out our Facebook page, our YouTube page. We have tons of videos and pictures, and it's a lot of fun. We got an events page on there as well, so check out the upcoming events at Blank Park Zoo. And then make sure you stop by and visit us once in a while. Again, blankparkzoo.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. And join us next time for Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.